Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're still here. We busted out prom pictures today. It's had me distracted the entire show. I'm now getting cursed out by family members in a group chat. It's all gone so wrong so soon. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show. Penn's Oil Performance Line. Going to talk to June Lee in about 10 minutes, get some updates on Major League Baseball trade deadline, some of the big action that we saw today. But Janae, it has been a whole host of distractions provided by Memories of Prom.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, like, I've really just recently felt comfortable wearing white, you know, just in general. Oh. You know, shoes, it's tough. So I'm just wondering, did that white suit stay clean? Or, like,
yeah, so for anyone that hasn't seen the pictures on Twitter, we were talking about some music that reminded us of prom. We ended up busting out our old prom pictures, and I was dumb enough to tweet mine out there. My junior prom, I did what every husky white guy with a good personality has done at some point in time and worn a white tux to prom. And no, I can't imagine that stayed clean knowing me. I'm a messy eater. I'm a sweaty dancer. There's just no chance.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Hey, but you went for it. And I'm seeing on the timeline that more people actually prefer that all white look.
I feel like, and I think my mom was the one that said this, do high school boys ever make good decisions? Because a white tux being like the prominent color of a prom tux kind of indicates probably no.
Yeah, probably not. Not the best period. You know, that's the period of experimentation. Well, let me just stop.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. I'm talking about clothing, okay?
Whoa.
Like, you started to find your style, but I heard how that was sounding. So, like, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, again, we're like 3 weeks into this, and every day we seem to find a way to push to the limit what they're willing to let
us say. Not as bad as Jordan, though, last week. So.
No. Shout out to Jordan Cornette, who came through and pushed it to the limit there and survived. We heard him and his wife, Shay, on the radio on ESPN in the afternoons on game day on Sunday. So that sounded great. We were excited to talk to him. It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And it was those moments of levity that we've been looking for, because we understand it's been a really heavy year. And unfortunately, we did not get a reprieve from that this weekend, and we did not get a reprieve from that this morning, as legendary Georgetown coach John Thompson unfortunately passed away at the age of 78. And Janae, just because of the way this year has gone, it didn't even seem like this morning, whether it was Chadwick Boseman on Friday or this news today, it all unfortunately seems to blend together. But John Thompson certainly stood out in such a big way and in so many ways in the world of not only college basketball, not only Georgetown, but just leadership and, I think, coaching in general, the icon that he was.
Yeah, and it just all starts with who he is, you know, his character as a man. And I think he was someone that really not only motivated and inspired on the court, considering Georgetown, they were essentially not known. And then he brought them to, you know, so much prominence, winning a title as a coach. But like, what we're hearing are the people that are affected. And I think when these situations happen, it's amazing to see who he has impacted. We talked about earlier Allen Iverson and how Coach Thompson saved Allen Iverson's hoop dreams, like taking a chance on him at Georgetown when no one else would. And I'm also discovering that he saved a boys and girls club in Washington, D.C. So it's not just sports that he was doing the work at. It was just for everyone that he cared about, his community. And even I'm looking at Scottie Pippen's tweet where he said, you know, if I didn't go to, let's see, he said, if I had the opportunity to play D1 basketball out of high school, I'd have loved to play for John Thompson at Georgetown. So many kids who needed a chance got one from him. As much of an impact as he had on the court, he was even more successful off of it. And this is Scottie Pippen, who I think we all learned in The Last Dance was an equipment manager that at like Central Arkansas, D2, D3. And so he Scottie understood that this man was someone for him that can transform lives. To me, it's a beautiful thing to see so many people out here speak so positively and amazingly on his behalf.
Yeah, and Janae, you know this. No one's got to lie on behalf of a coach's reputation, right? There have been enough coaches, and we use these terms, teachers, leaders of men, all these things that at times aren't for everybody. Like, there are some people out there that are just coaches and are there on the highest level to make a paycheck and are going to go out there and coach competently, but the rest of that stuff may not be as much of a priority. And then there are some people who live it out. And John Thompson was one that we have heard from countless examples, lived it in every facet when it came to that. And we had Dikembe Mutombo on earlier, someone very close to you. You call him Uncle Dikembe, and someone who was very close to John Thompson, talking about him being bigger than life.
I think he left a giant footstep in this world, and that we all going to look up and trying to see if we can fit in. And it's going to be hard to replace somebody like John Thompson when we talk about basketball giants. So the world needs really a big person, and we all just have to take a moment to grieve a little bit and send our condolences to the Thompson family for the loss of their father, uncle, someone that they look at, grandpa, because I got a chance to know everyone in the family, so I'm grieving with them.
And that was with us earlier today on Shanae and Golic Jr. And Shanae, you could hear the emotion there, talking just about how deeply the impact was felt for him as something he was just processing today.
And the interesting point is everyone that we're hearing from, especially his players, that beautiful coaching tree, you know, Patrick Ewing, obviously Uncle Dikembe Mutombo, Allen Iverson, a lot of the players, Alonzo Mourning, they always talk about school. And this show, we always like to talk about one and done, the nature of, you know, being one and done, transitioning quickly. And when we hear about that in common culture, it's usually referred to collegiately, right? You're one and done. You're going to play for 1 year, and then you're going to go to the pros. This is a man that had a 97% graduation rate. This is a man that cared so much whether each guy went to class. We heard the story from Dikembe talking about how academically he was so afraid after he missed one class. And granted, it was for a toothache.
Yeah.
And they reported that he missed it. And Coach Thompson like had a direct ticket to the Congo from him. What did he say? From Dallas to Kinshasa.
Like, yeah.
That ticket happened so quickly. And I think we all know, you know, that this was just tough love. But the love came from such a good place to not just shape them as talented players and future Hall of Famers, but as great men. And how better of an, you know, analogy or an expression of that love through education, which truly transforms all of our lives.
It transformed everyone around John Thompson. And I think seeing that the way he lived by those virtues and was going to be ironclad, because he knew as he was making a statement there, as he was pushing forward and doing so many firsts for a black coach in his position, first for a lot of the black players that he had in his stead. I heard Bomani Jones talking about this on the Levitard show this morning, going out and recruiting largely only black men to come to that school, and understanding that making sure education was a priority to deflect any of the naysayers, what people might come and try and say. He knew they were going to have to do more than others in that situation, and did time and time again. And that lasting impact, along with, you know, I mean, you hear the stories of just what a larger than life figure he was in the D.C. area at that time. No doubt a legend in so many ways, and one that I think now, as it relates to looking at modern athletes, looking at the modern world here, PJ Carlissimo, our ESPN NBA analyst, talked about what an incredible advocate he was for some a group that we're seeing with an even bigger voice now, black athletes.
John's impact on so many levels was incredible. And frankly, the fact that he could coach as well as he coached and you know, at all with the multitude of things that he had going for him over the years. He was a mentor to so many people. He was a staunch advocate for so many good causes and of course, for African-American coaches and players. And the job he did for his student-athletes was incredible.
And to do that job at the time that he did it, and to understand and launch, again, you heard, you referenced it, the emotion in Allen Iverson's voice, the indelible impact he left on so many people who went on to further the culture themselves the way Allen Iverson did, Alonzo Mourning, so many others in this. I think it's a reminder of the effect coaching can have.
So much of sports is about stats and awards and recognition and spotlight. But what we're seeing the last week even, which is just blowing my mind, Coach Lou Olsen, obviously Coach John Thompson, we've got obviously Chadwick Boseman, people that went about not just for themselves through their personal lens view, but moved with a purpose, moved for more. And I think as we all navigate through our grief and our acknowledgement of the amazing things they've done for society, we need to recognize that that is the message that they cared the most about. That is what made them go, like doing it for other people, whether they get the credit or not. And hopefully that can give us all motivation to sort of take that energy and move it forward.
Absolutely. Truer words never spoken. And we will all try and live that out, the example set forward by so many others. All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Coming up next, as we look towards the Major League Baseball's second half of a very short season here, the trade deadline has come and gone. We'll talk about one key player now going forward that is going all in on the rest of this shortened season. We will get to that.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, God. Now you're really trying to get people in trouble around here, aren't you, Cliff?
But this is totally prom, our era. Was this your prom?
So this is like prom, but just in general, I feel like when you hear the opening bars of this song, you immediately find a wall.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't have a partner. But actually, this song goes hard, so hard that your partner and you still have to go to the wall.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's what I mean. You got to find a wall in any circumstances on this one. This song is a problem.
Wait, are you putting your hands
on
your head?
No, I did not. Like, I was going to say, I promise that wasn't intentional.
Are you sure? That seemed pretty intentional because that is the position a lot of people do.
Oh, I weep for the audience watching on ESPN News right now. This is not good. And to make it better and to save us from ourselves before it gets to be too late, it is Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're delighted to be joined now by our ESPN writer, June Lee, joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. June does an unreal job writing for ESPN and covering Major League Baseball. We know the trade deadline just came and passed. And June, the Padres making waves in all this, and not just for home runs at the perceived wrong time, apparently, but for big moves made acquiring Mike Clevinger. What can you tell us about what that move says about their intentions going forward, even in this shortened season?
I did not expect this call to start with some discussion about prom music, because that was awesome. With everything that's happening with the Padres this year, I mean, obviously the Fernando Tatis, as anyone who has been following baseball knows, has kind of emerged as a superstar out there. But, you know, they were a team coming into the season where they were someone to watch, maybe someone who might be a force to be reckoned with in a couple years down the road. Obviously had have a lot of really great young talent, and I think this kind of cements them as a team that we need to watch out for in the postseason. I mean, Mike Clevinger, obviously he's a pitcher that probably wouldn't have been available unless he had broken the trust of the clubhouse with everything that happened with COVID and him breaking COVID protocol. But, you know, that's a guy who's top of the rotation. And it's not just about declaring their intentions this year. It's about kind of declaring their intentions down the road, too. Obviously, Tatis is one of the, you know, a young guy who's a star in baseball. But people forget about Manny Machado, who's still less than 30 years old and in the middle of a 10-year contract and at this point still producing in that contract. And so the Padres are not just kind of a force to be reckoned with right now, but I think there's at least a 2 to 3 year window at the very minimum to see them kind of really shine here.
Yeah, 2 to 3 year window. I guess I was going to ask about the timeline because big picture, I'm here in Los Angeles and, you know, the air is kind of buzzing, especially out here when it comes to baseball, because we tend to always think about the Dodgers and now the competition level in the NL West is really interesting. I'm becoming a fan of Tatis Jr. It's super cool. But I saw that, you know, you were part of this round robin, piece out on ESPN in which you sort of said, like, there's some momentum here, but you also said there are two teams that are really sort of head above the rest. Are you still on that wavelength with the Dodgers and the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Dodgers and the Yankees, like, in regards to just baseball in general, once you get to the postseason, you don't really know what happens. You know, I feel like every single year, some writers, like, and myself included, I fall into this, where you see the roster on paper, and you're like, man, how could that team ever lose? But in this year, more than any other year, where you're going to have 3-game series, 5-game series, you know, you see bad teams beat really good teams in 3-game series all the time. And so I feel like there's a level of volatility that comes with this year. And that's obviously not just a great sign for the Dodgers in general, because they're the team that came into the season with the highest expectations. You traded for Mookie Betts. You have the best record in baseball, something that they've done, you know, they have done before in the past and also not won the World Series. You know, the regular season only means so much, and especially in a 2-month season where, you know, anything can happen, where the Marlins are somehow buyers at the trade deadline and trading for a guy like Starling Marte because they think they might have a shot to get to the postseason. You know, really anything can happen. And so, this is kind of the circumstances that we've come to because of the short season and the expanded playoffs. Like, as much as everyone loves the Yankees and the Dodgers on paper, and the Yankees have been kind of dealing with a lot of injury issues and a losing streak in general over the course of the last couple of weeks, it's really hard to say what's going to happen at this point. And so for a team like the Dodgers, you can't feel safe that the, you know, that team as hot as the Padres have been over the course of this entire year, adding really good players at the trade deadline.
Talking to ESPN MLB writer June Lee here, giving us the Progressive MLB snapshot brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save on over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. June, as you look now going into the rest of this, is there going to be a team, you mentioned the unusual nature of the Marlins being buyers in all this, a team that you think regrets sitting out the deadline or got close but didn't get something done at the deadline?
Well, I'm curious to see what the Yankees are going to do, because they're a team that has dealt with a lot of injuries over the course of this season, especially in the last couple of weeks. And their bullpen is kind of being worn down at this point. That's a team that obviously has a lot of high expectations and needs to just needs to kind of get far in the postseason to, you know, they signed Gerrit Cole to this enormous contract. There's so many expectations for a team like the Yankees.
June, before we let you go, we have a very, very serious question for you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, hit me.
What color suit did you wear to prom?
What color suit? I think I just wore a plain black tux, but I went with like a bright royal blue tie. I feel like if I had gone to prom today, and obviously like I'm 25 now, and so like my sense of style is probably different, I probably would have worn like a color or something, like a green or a brown or something.
Well, June, if you've got a picture of it, we've been sending out pictures of ours today. I went with the white tux back in the day and some pinstripes. So if you're feeling froggy and want to jump with us, we might appreciate you tagging us in a prom picture if you can find one, all right?
I think I'll be able to find one for you guys. I'll tweet it out.
Great work, June.
You're
we
a good
appreciate
man.
You.
Appreciate it, June.
All right. See you guys.
June Lee, our ESPN MLB writer. Janae, by the way, you still haven't tweeted your prom picture out. I'm just saying.
Whoa, I told you we were not doing that. You went ahead. It was way too forthcoming, but I like to accept every challenge. I just have really bad service over here.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I don't believe that, knowing the area that you live in. And
or that,
I know
like,
that
I'm on broadcasting right now.
I know you pay your bills on time. You got it like that. So going to need to see some evidence.
Oh, gosh.
Get in the timeline.
I'll put a smiley face on my face.
All right, I don't believe that for a minute. Coming up, we're going to continue to dig into proms, pass, plucks. Figure out, the Bucks in serious trouble, and are everyone outside of the Dan Le Batard Show still sleeping on the Heat? We will get to that in just a minute. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Certified, 100% grade A top choice prom right here. You were not going to prom, you were not on the dance floor, if people were not cranking that Soulja Boy. It is just that simple. You! Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Janae Agumake here. I thought she just left the room. She was just really holding the Superman that long.
Oh, yeah, all the way. That's how we do it in Texas. That was a good one.
That one really brought the...
And you know how like you throw it up and you wait and...
Well, that I was going to say, that was sort of like the lean with it, rock with it kind of brought to the same sort of energy. And it was how long you were willing to hold it there before you caught it.
And you better catch that thing on beat. That's it, period. Because the whole group will be like, hey...
Yes, easy way to get yourself clowned, and that basically happens when you were me in that song on that same dance floor.
I doubt it. But so, you'll be happy to know, though, that I did post my picture under yours. So.
Oh, wow. All right, so we have it out there. So we've been having this discussion all day because of songs like that, revisiting proms of years past. I had the courage to post my prom pictures online. We had to basically bully Janae into it, but you have posted yours now.
I don't like to take L's from you, so I will always put in my best winning effort, and I posted it, yes.
At Janae321 on Twitter, at Mike Golick Jr. If you want to add to the party, shout out to June Lee, who just joined us, giving us a great breakdown.
June looked real good.
June has not aged since that picture. Like, June is 25, and he has not aged since senior prom. It's amazing.
Like, million-dollar smile.
It is. That man is pure class.
So far, producer Shannon is winning the whole thing, though. Ooh. So, like, he's winning it all.
Shannon, did Shannon put that out there on Twitter yet?
I don't think he did, because he's married and happily with kids, and I don't think he wants to, like, get the DMs popping and all that stuff, because that picture is so fire. He knows you got to keep that in the archives.
He did flex and say that he was voted best looking. So
I know a place where you can put that picture up and make money, but it's okay.
Stop it. We are done being the first show of OnlyFans around here. I swear. I
didn't say anything. What are you talking about?
This is... I am deceased.
I know.
Yet again.
And
on
if
this.
That's Monday, guys, we gotta get information.
We can't be too Friday on a Monday.
You're
here.
Right. That is true.
Wait, but hold on. I'm getting this note now. So, Soulja Boy just turned 30 this year. So Soulja Boy was doing all that being the same age as me. God, I am so sick of people my age and younger being more successful.
And apparently Macaulay Culkin just turned 40. So I was like, you want to feel old? I'm 40 now.
Oh, man. I don't know what to do with all this information.
Ugh. It's okay. We should just spend a day and just enjoy watching movies like Home Alone and stuff like that. So.
Home Alone, wildly overrated, by the way, but that's a story for another day. Yeah, that's a story. We'll get to that another day because right now, if we want to deal in hot takes, we got to talk to the master himself, our very own Stephen A. Smith, because as we look forward towards the NBA playoffs, Stephen A. Smith came with the heat earlier today on First Take, adopting something that you might have heard on the Levitard Show for months now if you had been listening, about one Miami Heat outfit and their chances going up against the Bucks.
I just got this funny feeling Miami's going to find a way to win this series. I really do. I just think that their perimeter shooting, the leadership of Jimmy Butler, and the questionable shooting of Milwaukee once Giannis Antetokounmpo is neutralized to some degree, really, really favors Miami here. I'm a Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero fan, along with Kendrick Nunn. It's not just Jimmy Butler that I love so much. It's not just Adebayo that I respect. But I love their perimeter shooting, the marksmen that they have, willing to pull up from the parking lot. I love these guys, and I think that they have a shot to beat Milwaukee.
All right, a shot is one thing, Chiney. You want to put any uncomfortable amount of money that the Miami Heat actually do win this series?
You're asking me put up my So, yeah, a shot to win. They do have a shot to win. I just think that the Bucks have a sense of urgency that might be greater than even the Miami Heat shot.
And a Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, and a like probably likely to be two-time MVP that gives you 30 and 14 in like 30 minutes and has sort of not had to activate beast mode. So, yeah, I think that the Miami Heat, Stephen A's correct. He's a team that they're a team that you can't count out just by how hard they play. They're shooters that are young shooters that will be experiencing playoffs in this level of basketball, you know, for like a relatively new time. And I think Jimmy Butler obviously is the leader. He's the one that will make sure that they compete. But the Bucks are they're deep, and they have the number one defense in the NBA. And Giannis is the reigning defensive player of the year, just named recently. So it's going to be interesting to see which wins out. And in this case, I think it will be better offense, and we will see a good test case game one of this second round, whose offense is ready to go.
Chiney, do you think the last couple of years, and I'm just thinking because this Miami Heat team, it's got guys we've heard, Kendrick Nunn, you talked about Bam Adebayo, but this is Jimmy Butler's team, which is exactly what he went down to Miami in a lot of people's minds to do, which is have a team that belonged to him and him alone in all that. Obviously, Pat Riley is a big influence. Has anyone had a more redemptive last couple of years than Jimmy Butler, though, from seeing what he was able to do in Philadelphia, earning the respect of everyone in that locker room to be their fourth quarter guy, and then leaving and watching the void of leadership show up there while the Miami Heat are now getting this kind of praise?
So on the upper echelon, let's say like the top 30 of NBA stars, yeah, he's been able to, like, he really took control of his narrative. He didn't care that he was being cast as the bad boy in Minnesota. He didn't care that, you know, he was in Philadelphia and sort of like he was looked to as a leader, even though he was playing with talented players like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Like, he was still sticking to his guns, and now he goes down to Miami and now he stepped into this role. He's found a home for himself and he fought for it. But you know what's funny? I got to give a shout out to Orlando, because we know that the bubble is in Orlando. The women are in Bradenton, Florida. I feel like a lot of times things get glossed over, whether it was the Orlando Magic first round. If we're going to talk about a redemption story, it's probably Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz, for real, because he was playing in that series. He was playing in that series. And over the last few years, if there's someone that went through the ringer and had to figure out psychologically, mentally, you know, how to prepare and get himself back to what he used to be as a number one pick with a lot of the pressure. And we talk about Jason Tatum, the Celtics, how good they look. Markelle Fultz is a guy that I want to put some respect on his name, because he's out there playing and performing. And I just remember I was walking in the kitchen and I was like, oh, Markelle Fultz for three. I was like, oh, like, that's good. Like, good for you. But Jimmy Butler is a story, but, you know, when you talk about redemption, I sort of had to give a little love to that guy, too.
No, rightly so. Markelle Fultz had to weather hell mentally, the conversation around him, all those different things. So very cool to see that guy succeed. No doubt about
Wait,
it.
Wait, are you taking the Bucks though? That's I want to know.
No doubt. Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to get caught up in the parade of gas bags like everyone else who was predicting Portland over the Lakers in the first round. Like,
thank you.
I told you guys,
we are
Lakers
realists over here.
We understand.
We're realists. We should just put food on it. That should be our bet.
We should put. Listen, you've come to the right.
Should I put a, what do you call those? The whale or like?
Oh, Fudgy the Whale.
Should we put a Fudgy the Whale on it?
Oh yeah, we'll put a Fudgy the Whale on it. Absolutely, but like we're not on either side.
But we're
of this,
not on
right?
either side. We'll have to find what that thing is, though.
We're gonna find out what that bet is. Maybe that can be coming up next. How about this? Okay. I got one thing that Chanae and I can tie to a Fudgy the Whale bet. Something that's finally gonna put a little bit at stake in our relationship early on here. All right. Fudgy the Whale takes coming up next.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All-time prom banger here. All-time prom banger right here. It is Chanae and Golic Jr. Unusually Woo! Friday on a Monday, which I feel like is like... Unfortunately, it might become a thing around here.
We might have to run that same tease tomorrow. Like, we still here. We're... Still here.
We managed to still end up back here. Thank you to Young Jock. Thank you to June Lee. Thank you to everyone who has joined the show today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show. Penzo at Performance Line. We've been talking all day about the NBA, return to the bubble action, some big-time performances we saw over the weekend. We know Heat and Bucks are underway now, so that Eastern Conference playoff series kicking off in the second round. We had news out of the NFL today. Leonard Fournette released by the Jacksonville Jaguars following Yannick Ngakoue out of town there, who, by the way, took $6 million less in Minnesota, ending up there to ultimately stay as opposed to what he would have been
in Jacksonville. They love defense up there. They love that defense.
The North enjoys some defense, and apparently Yannick really enjoys not being in Jacksonville anymore. So all of that was exciting today. We had everyone's prom outfits showing up today. Chanae, you threw yours out there on the timeline. I appreciate that.
I did it. Just because you pressured me.
That's
but it's okay. It's okay. I'll pressure you into something else. It's okay.
It's a hell of a look. Yellow was a bold color for back in the day. I appreciate you taking that fashion leap.
It was like in between yellow and green, which is not a win. And that's what I just really don't feel great about, you know? But it's okay. It's okay.
It's all right.
The glow
you know
up always hits. The glow up hits just later on. Yeah.
The glow up hit. That was the proper energy still. That's what we appreciate on this show. Without further ado, Cliff, let's close it out. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chanae and Golic Jr.
Okay, this is going to make all of our bosses, everyone on the East Coast so happy. I might now be a Patriots fan.
Whoa.
Like, I really, really, I know I'm late to the party, but I might really be a Patriots fan just because, obviously, I respect the organization and what they're able to do. But now in this new page, they're turning a new page with Cam Newton. And then he comes out listening to gospel music and, like, stomp Kirk Franklin. Like, keep that same energy, Cam Newton, because I love it. He's bringing the spirit back.
I was amazed. That has to be, like, the video of Cam Newton not doing the organized stretch line in New England had to be making people, like, their skin had to be burning there. Like, someone's out of line. What's happening?
No, but if they only knew, like, in those churches where you typically listen to that music, there's a lot of stretching going on. There's a lot of stomping. There's a lot of movement. So, like,
can confirm he was getting the blood flowing.
Oh, yeah, he was. So just because you see it there, like, you're like, oh, he's not stretching. Don't worry. The music brings it out of you later on.
He's full of the spirit and bringing that there. You know what? Coming on as a New England fan now, I think might actually be the truest version of fandom, because you're not getting, you know, the old era here. You're not getting the 2 decades of dominance. You're taking a chance on Cam Newton in the franchise, so I can appreciate that.
I'm rooting for Cam. I am rooting for my great state of Texas, the Cowboys. Come on now, 25 years. Okay, and then the Houston Texans, of course, but, like, you know how that goes. Like, I'm here for Houston. I am here for Houston.
Well, you're here for football in general right now, Chanae.
Yes.
So I want to keep that same energy, because for a lot of people right now, fantasy football drafts are getting ready to go on. I got my first fantasy football draft of the season starting up in about 40 minutes here that I've been getting prepared for. But you are going to dive in to the fantasy football waters with us, Chanae. Am I right?
I am so ready. And I've had so many, like, great tips. And I guess the number one that comes through is, like, follow your gut. Don't just go to your star players, your favorite players. Like, actually just sort of think like an unbiased human being. And more importantly, they say wait for a quarterback to, like, the fourth round or so. just like I thought that was an interesting take.
Wait for a quarterback. Do not even think about a kicker or a defense until the very, very end of that. If you follow those instructions, then, like you said, go with God on that one. We got a deep pool of wide receivers this year. Stack running backs at the top. We're going to be good. We're going to be good. And we've got news about potential competition with another show coming in the realm of fantasy sports. It is Chanae and Golic Jr.
So many responses. So many good tips. Thanks, you guys.
Here on ESPN Radio. All right, I'm going to keep that same energy with a group of people that got to do a little bit less right now. I'm driving into work today. And you know the people that like to do a little bit too much with their car. I saw someone driving around with the eyelashes on their headlights. Now, this goes for that group of people. This goes for the group of people that do reindeer antlers during the winter and then leave that thing for way too long after the season's over. You got to stop it. I don't deal in absolutes because, as Dominique Foxworth once said on our air, absolutes are for babies and stupid people. I don't know if I can truly be friends with someone who is going to do that much extra on their automobile.
But my question is, like, there's only one car suitable for the eyelash. It's the bug. Was it a bug?
No, it wasn't. That was what was even more jarring is this virus is spread. Probably can't talk about viruses now.
Oh, we can't? I feel like that's okay.
Probably not, but that's neither here nor there. But yes, it has spread. It was not a bug. I was shocked. I was offended. I was worried.
I've only seen it, like, it's cute on a bug, but any other car, no eyelashes.
I don't even know if I can rock with it on the bug. And maybe that's a me thing. Maybe I have to examine myself.
This might be a female thing because, like, I didn't have my eyelash extensions all quarantined, and I felt like I was a whole different person. So someone just probably got so enthused that they got their eyelashes back. Like,
they wanted to give the lashes look back for their car as well.
Yes, for their car, too. They just got to keep that same energy, right?
They are keeping that same energy.
And this one might get us in trouble here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay, so I understand that everyone saw what Adele wore to Carnival in Nottingham. I feel like she's one of the people that, like, sort of always shows respect to the culture. So there's a grace period I'm going to allow Adele because she puts out great music. She always cites the legends that come before her. She stands for so many people, including Beyonce. What did you think when you saw the bantu knots and the cute, like, you know, Jamaican flag?
I'm not going to lie. It's just one of those things where I'm like, you know what? Maybe we don't have to do this. Maybe we don't need to do this. I understand
like you said,
what you're saying. And you're right. When it comes to cultural appropriation, generally the rule of thumb is you need to understand, appreciate, and usually be for the group that you are talking about in that spot. But for me, it's always just one. Maybe we don't do this. Maybe we don't have to.
Or maybe just run it by one of your friends in that group. Like, hey. And they're like, oh, hold up. Like, you got to have diverse friends. Okay, guys? Like, you got to have friends that can sort of look out for your best interests because – if not, things like this sort of happen.
Have the conversation. Speaking of, Chanae, we only got a couple of seconds left here, but you watched the VMAs last night. Keep that same energy? We're still doing that?
Oh, it was amazing. For those who watched the VMAs, I also watched the NBA playoffs and my sister's game on the Sparks. Yeah, all that stuff was going on, but it was super cool just because it looked super futuristic. Like, because everything was on a green screen, I was like, whoa, Lady Gaga, whoa, what is it? What's her name? What's her name? Cliff, what's her name? The one that you
Dua Lipa,
stand for?
Dua Lipa.
No. We're not talking about Dua Lipa. I'm talking about the other one you stand for.
Doja Cat? No.
She was there. It, so many cool performances the weekend. So, yeah.
It was awesome stuff. That one brings me back. The VMAs used to be such a hallmark for everyone on all that. So, keep that same energy, I guess, and keep rocking with the shows that got us here. Shows we were watching when we were getting ready for prom. Thank you to everyone for submitting prom pictures with us here. I don't know why we did that in the middle of August, but Spain and Fitz are next.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.